Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to New Jersey's Education Forum, a Blog Talk Radio show sponsored by New Jersey School Board Association, dedicated to bringing state leaders and the most current education issues to local board members and others in the education community. As is the design of this show, we hope that the communication is not just one way, and we encourage you all to call and ask questions. My name is Ray Pinning, and I will be your host for this afternoon. First, to let you know a couple things, we will not be using the chat room function of this show today. If you are interested in calling, a few things you should know. One, the phone number is 1-347-989-8904. When you are ready to make a comment or ask a question, just press 1, and that will indicate in my switchboard that you are ready to comment or ask a question. Another note, on my switchboard, it does not indicate the name of the caller, but just the phone number. So I will identify you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. So I hope you all remember your phone number. Also, if you are on the phone, I will ask you to turn down the volume on your computer and only listen on the phone since there will be a delay and it is a bit confusing. And finally, I will not be taking callers right away, but Dr. Zukowski and I will have a conversation for about 15 or 20 minutes or so, and then we'll take questions later on. This afternoon, our topic is changing the way we evaluate teachers. The focus of this discussion will be on the Education Effectiveness Task Force. On October 28th, through Executive Order Number 42, the governor created the task force. The task before the task force is a difficult one. Let me read an excerpt from the executive order. Whereas, in order to improve the state's method of assessing its teachers and school leaders and ensure that they are effectively educating our children, a task force composed of a broad range of education practitioners and experts should be established to explore evaluation models and recommend a statewide evaluation system that will inform decisions about various school personnel policies, including professional development, promotion, compensation, merit-based bonuses, tenure, and reductions in force and separations. Wow, that is a tough assignment. And by the way, they have to finish by March 1st. We are fortunate to have with us the chair of this task force, and that's Dr. Brian Zukowski. Dr. Zukowski, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Before we start, I'd like to ask you a question. Just tell us a little bit about your background in education.
Okay, Mr. Pinney, I was a history teacher at a high school level, history teacher, before I became an administrator. I served as an athletic director, vice principal, principal, and superintendent. I've been a superintendent of North Brunswick Township Public Schools since 2007, and I've been a superintendent going on my 12th year.
Okay, so you've been at almost every level of education. What was your reaction when the governor called, or I'm not sure who called, and asked you to chair this task force?
Well, my initial reaction was one of appreciation that the governor would consider including a superintendent on this very important work for this task force, and it certainly was something I was interested in because it focused on teaching and learning.
Okay, and what do you see as the major... I read the charge, and I don't think you need to go through all that, but what do you see as the major focus and charge of this task force?
Well, first thing I would like to do is clear up the charge and the results of finishing an evaluation system or recommending an evaluation system. The charge isn't for us to deal with tenure, merit pay, removal of staff, teachers, things like that. Our charge is to get something in place so teachers could be effectively and fairly measured, so when issues like tenure, merit pay are addressed, there's a level of confidence that there's an instrument out there that will assist districts, the State Department, and educators alike to address these very difficult topics.
So one of my later questions, and I'll take it out. So this task force really will not be touching on the issue of tenure directly anyway. you will be touching more on the evaluation models for teachers.
Right, the process and the instrument of fairly and accurately measuring the impact of a teacher, the effectiveness of a teacher on the learning environment, of which within the executive order we have to consider, and it's a requirement of our charge, 50% of the evaluation system must include student achievement.
Oh, that's and will you have the task force have like the latitude to define what is student achievement? I would assume that might be a little difficult, more difficult in certain subjects than others.
Well, that's one of the major stumbling blocks or roadblocks or what we like to say is stumbling blocks to implementation, because there's a series of complexities that one has to consider when we look at teachers and evaluation. Some are easy quantifiable in the public's mind, where teachers are teaching and there's an assessment and there's formative assessments at the local level, but we must not forget there's outcome-based classes and subject areas where the teachers are based on student growth from the time, during their year together or their marking period together, such as physical education or some of the fine arts programs. So that is a roadblock to our implementation recommendations.
Okay. You mentioned the word growth. It wouldn't be like one test measuring all teachers. It would be how they improve the growth of their students that are under their care would be at least the goal.
I don't think there's anyone on the task force who was interviewed prior to even being formally named on to serve on the task force, or anybody in education for that matter, who thinks one high-stakes assessment could be an accurate measurement of achievement for any student.
Okay.
In fact, the state has gone out of their way, the local media has gone out of their way to take this diagnostic tool and use it as a form of comparison and to belittle some districts, to criticize other districts, or compliment some others. And it's a very inaccurate measure of what is really student achievement and then what students are doing. So we're definitely going to look at multiple measures and how to ascertain a baseline growth, a level, so we can determine if the student is growing and learning and there is an impact of the teacher in a positive or negative way.
Okay, so there's some fear out there among some, particularly the teachers, that there'll be one test and they'll be measured good or bad as to the results of that test, and you're looking at more than that, so they shouldn't be too concerned about that.
Now, a high-stakes test right now that we have in New Jersey isn't even a good diagnostic tool at this point because of the timeliness of how we receive the data. If you're truly going to measure and accurately adjust your teaching strategies and give good feedback to the teacher within the classroom, one has to do ongoing assessments and has to be timely in the feedback. So it wouldn't be my recommendation to use one high-stakes test to measure a teacher's effectiveness. And by that, Matt, and by saying that, that would eliminate 85-90% of the teachers, because we only test in the language arts and the mathematics at this point, and
okay,
science as well.
So a roadblock would be to all those teachers, even if you that don't have tests right now. So you have to come up with a method for them, not by March 1st.
Right.
No,
and that's the other thing in charge. March 1st is the deadline for the recommendations being presented to the governor. In the Executive Order 42, it clearly states that the effectiveness evaluation framework is due to the governor no later than March 1st, but thereafter the task force will continue to meet as needed to continue to review and revise, if necessary, the recommendations following the receipt of comments from the public stakeholders and the State Board of Education. And it will be pursuant to a schedule to be developed by the department. When the recommendations are given to the governor, and the department and the new commissioner, I imagine, looks and examines and it's put out for public comment, certainly I imagine there'll be some review and revision and maybe even a process for piloting such a new instrument.
So what you're saying is March 1st is not like the final version of what you're recommending. It almost seems like a starting point for the discussion.
Right. We're hoping to give something of substance to the governor by at that time, but many states have been working on models such as described in Executive Order 42, and if you look at some of their research and their writings, it's clearly they have done this over a period of 1 to 2 years to get it to kind of put it into policy.
There's been a lot of concern from some people in the education community, particularly the NJA, but there's another group that they're not represented on the task force. Do you think, I know there's a teacher on the task force, do you think that will hinder the work of the task force, not having every group represented?
First of all, I've been asked that question many times by the press, and I'm very happy with, as chairman, that I have not only a teacher, but a retired teacher, a former NJEA member. But it really is important to me whether they're AFT or NJEA. Feedback and input from a teacher, a practitioner, is really the important part of the workings of the task force, that we have that critical eye from a practitioner that's in the classroom currently and that was in the classroom for more than 30 years prior to retiring. So that hasn't been accurately reported because I don't think it's important in terms of what our work, the level of what we have to do, what we have to present to the governor. We're more worried about getting that feedback and accurate discussion and accurate input from people that served in the classroom and are serving now in the classroom. So I really don't have a comment one way or other. To me, the teachers are the teachers, and the union representation is another matter, and not one for my consideration.
Okay. And I've heard from some teachers, they're concerned about the fairness of a system. Is that a goal of this? It sounded like you said earlier when you first came on that you want a system that's fair, more than anything else.
I emphatically state that we have to be fair to the children, and we have to be fair to the teachers, because they're the critical components inside a classroom, the learning environment, content, teaching, and learning. So that means teacher, student, and the curriculum. Those are the three components that make up the instructional core. To say that administrator does not want to be fair, or we do not want to endeavor to create a fair system, I think is absolutely misrepresenting what I think the governor had in mind and what certainly this task force has been working towards. So to take it one step further, we think the current system isn't fair to staff members. When I say we, many of my colleagues not on the task force, many educational evaluators, many administrators who evaluate, because the studies one after another show that teachers have been getting high grades. Good teachers, bad teachers, successful schools, failing schools, and it's rampant across the state. So I don't think that's a teaching issue. It's really an administrative issue, evaluating issue. So I think we have to create a process and a system that we owe it to the teachers, a fair system, so that the good ones could get better and teachers that are struggling can get, improve in a systemic method where they're using professional development tied into their daily work as a teacher to improve the learning in that class, in a particular classroom. So, yes, we certainly endeavor to have a fair system. To say that anybody would endeavor not to be fair, you're going to fail before you get started.
It was interesting that you brought that up because I was at a Senate Education Committee meeting and they discussed tenure and how to change tenure and reform it. But really to do that, you have to have a good system of evaluation. So would you agree that the consensus among
Yes.
Yeah, with the consensus among most of the people who testified was that there was a need to change, that the system that we currently have is not working.
Absolutely, there's a need to change in education. Maybe sometimes it's good that the education changed slowly because there's so many new ideas year in, year out within the educational world. However, the area of tenure certainly needs to be addressed. It certainly needs to be modified, and it served a valuable purpose, but it certainly needs to be looked at, and the discussion soon will get, hopefully will change from lifetime jobs, which isn't true for staff members and teachers, and the issue will turn to creating a system where administrators could cultivate excellent teaching and year in and year out through a systemic a process that good teachers get better and teachers that are struggling have an opportunity and a fair opportunity to demonstrate growth. And if not, then maybe they just it's just not the profession for them. It's not an easy thing to do to be a quality teacher. Everybody thinks they went to school, so they know how to be a good teacher. They know what's involved in the aspects of good teaching, and I got to tell you that I don't even think many administrators know what good teaching is. We've lost sight of the important part of the classroom, which is the learning environment. We've been measuring teachers for compliance and students for compliance too long, and you've seen the achievement gap grow in New Jersey. You've seen mediocrity become the benchmark, and I don't think it's as much fault as the teachers as it is the entire system and administrators. So we're all guilty, and it is a time to change. And I really believe quality educators throughout New Jersey, and we have many of them, want to change. Administrators, teachers, they want a system that will identify the very, very good teachers, identify teachers that need to improve and what areas they can improve, and we have to be held accountable to the outcomes. Student outcomes are very, very important. It's the most important thing that a teacher and a school district should be concerned about. What are the students learning? So, and how effective are the teachers and the staff that impact the learning environment? How effective are they as well?
Another question would be, has the task force started meeting, and how often are you meeting, and how long?
We've met on several occasions. Yeah, we've met several occasions, and I think we'll be going in probably an aggressive schedule 3 to 4 times a month from here on in before March 1st. There's a lot of planning that's done online, but we've met several on several occasions, and we've been meeting with educational officials from outside the state of New Jersey, from other states that have been working on this issue, speaking to them about the implementation plans and the development plans and some of the roadblocks and some of the issues, the big issues that they've been running into. And we've also scheduled appointments for local districts to come in here in New Jersey. We have some tremendous, highly successful school districts that have been working on evaluating their staff effectively, fairly, and we certainly want to hear from those leaders and those school districts. So there's not a – and that's right in the executive order that, you know, the task force may use professionals and experts inside and outside the state of New Jersey to help shape the discussion, help bring clarity to our mission. So we certainly have been taking advantage of that.
So if a school board member, an administrator, or a teacher has some ideas on this issue, is there a way that they can communicate their thoughts and ideas to the task force?
Yes. What I would say if it's if a school board member has a an issue that they a critical issue and they think it's they want to be part of a bigger picture. In other words, if they think it's an issue that is not just relevant to their district, but you know something that may touch many districts across the state of New Jersey, they should really call New Jersey school boards. And I will be writing an invitation to the various heads of school boards, ASA, PSA, NJEA, to if they want to give input and you know write present something on a white paper, a couple pages, that to really articulate what that particular specific organization stands for relative to measuring effective teaching and learning. But if they have a specific question, they certainly can reach out to me and email me, and I would get back to them within a couple of days, if I have the answer. So, I'm the superintendent of North Brunswick Township. My email's online on our website, so that's an easy contact. But if there's a bigger issue, and these organizations want to put forth a white paper to represent what they stand for and what their organizations value, we're certainly going to give those organizations a chance to do that as well.
Oh, great. So most of the state associations will be asked to bring comments to your task force.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
And how has the task force members, have you found, has it been a good group to work together with? Because, you know, I know I mentioned earlier there were some concerns, but it seems like from your comments, the task force has been working pretty collegially.
Yes, I've been very impressed with the focus. I've been very impressed with the intensity of which all the task force members have taken this charge very seriously and professionally. And I've ever been very impressed with the cooperation of the Department of Ed as a resource to help us shape the agenda, help us schedule the meetings. And they've been very, very, very helpful in that regard. So, yes, it's a difficult, difficult charge, one that will never satisfy everyone, and a charge that some people say statistically you'll never be able to create an answer that will be the best, an accurate measure of effectively measuring the impact of good teaching within on student learning. However, as you mentioned earlier, and I've agreed that the current system, by not even considering student outcomes and considering student achievement in evaluation system, is not working. You know, so we have to certainly take a look and make recommendations for change. So there'll never be one recommendation, one size fits all in New Jersey because of the complexities and the large scope of districts across the state of New Jersey. However, its task force is certainly going to do its best to make recommendations so the governor can move forward with his efforts in trying to lead change in how we measure effective teaching.
In a couple of minutes, I'll be taking some phone calls. I see there's a few people who are listening online. If you're listening online, on the phone, and you want to make a comment or ask a question, just press 1, and that will indicate to me that you're ready. And as I said before, I will state your zip code, your area code, and also the last 4 digits. What's been the most, at least from your perspective, I know you probably can't speak for everyone on the task force, what do you think are some of the most difficult issues, most difficult issue before the task force, the one that you're grappling with the most so far?
Without going into too much detail, because we've asked all the task force members to keep to sign a letter of confidentiality so we could do the work and respect the executive order and report our findings and our recommendations to the governor. But I think many people outside the task force have identified their concerns with how we're going to accurately measure the impact of teaching teachers and effectively evaluate them that are, you know, not the regular classroom teacher or kindergarten teachers or physical education at the high school, for example, art teachers. You know, it's going to be very, very difficult to for people to see how you can quantify accurately the impact on student achievement, child study team members, guidance counselors, how we're going to utilize, create something that will effectively measure their impact on student achievement. And another issue is that we're also looking at the impact of administrators, how we evaluate principals and administrators and their impact on student achievement as well. So this isn't just about teachers. If you look closely into the task force and the Executive Order 42, it does mention about looking at school leaders' evaluations as well.
That's right. I read that in the beginning.
Right.
That would seem to make sense. First of all, I do agree with you that finding a measurement is not impossible and needs to be done, but it's not going to be easy because schools are not, it's not just one teacher in front of one set of students in every building, and there's team teachers and classes where it's much more difficult to measure student growth. So your recommendations, though, as you indicated, would that move on to particularly building principals, I guess, because I think the other consensus is that the principal is a very important factor in teacher performance.
Well, the research is heavily slanted and that, especially the work of Morzano, that school leaders, the actions of school leaders impact student learning and student achievement. So the things that school principals do on a daily basis impact student achievement. And so we would be remiss not to include looking at something that would at least fairly and effectively capture the impact of a good principal or an emerging principal or a principal that needs to improve. You know, I look at the report on the widget effect, which said 94% of all the teachers were given above satisfactory or above rating. And people said, how could that be even in failing schools? Well, that's not a teaching issue. That's not a teaching problem. That's an administrative problem. And people were not accurately measuring and effectively connecting their recommendations to the teachers so they can create a growth plan for the teacher and how they can grow as a professional and improve their effectiveness on the learning environment within the classroom. So that many of the studies point to the effective leadership as a critical piece, and certainly to make sure that they identify and understand and create a culture of a common eye of what is effective teaching on the learning environment, not just for themselves, but for their leadership team within that school. So, you know, there is a certainly a clear focus on good teaching and learning within the school.
In your district, you know, as you're a practitioner and you've been, as you said, a teacher and a principal, did you try to incorporate some of the goals of this committee in your work naturally when you evaluated teachers as a principal or even as how you evaluate principals?
Well, we did, yes. We have a, we use the Charlotte Danielson's framework of professional practice as part of our framework of evaluating staff, and we are a district that heavily relies on data. And we also give formative assessments, and we've tied data into you know, driving our professional learning communities. We've tied data into evaluating programs. What we haven't done in our district, and we are endeavoring, we really haven't taken a look at tying individual students to individual teachers.
Okay.
We've been looking at programs as a whole, using the data to, you know, using the data to make changes and improvements, and using data to shape the direction of the school, help us with predicting, help us with creating formative assessments, and trying to keep us in a consistent delivery of the curriculum. However, we have not used that data here, not yet, to say, to measure teachers directly on their evaluation.
All right, you used it more, for lack of a better term, for like
hopefully
a curriculum that we have to work on this, the geometry curriculum, or something to that effect, more globally, not individualized.
Well, we also used it as a coaching. For our grade level leaders would look at all the fourth grade data and say, okay, this particular teacher may want to speak to another fourth grade teacher on how they delivered the math program, the everyday math. They are struggling with a concept in that. So, because their children in that particular classroom were not doing as well as they wanted them to do, we looked at the data to help us create our project assist, our project, our remediation projects for students that are struggling. We were able to take the data and assist them as well. So we've systemically used data to help improve our instructional program, but we haven't used the data for the evaluation system directly.
And has there been any pushback from the staff on using this data?
Oh, no. The only thing the staff ever pushed back was that there's so much time necessary to work with data, to communicate with colleagues, and then, of course, go about their day and their responsibilities of teaching the class. So the staff has been very cooperative and very, very focused on using the data, so there's no complaints there, and from my part.
So that, you just told me that, I'm guessing now, that might be another obstacle for the new evaluation, is making sure it's not too time-consuming, using all that data.
Well, the obstacle I'm concerned about is effective evaluation is ongoing feedback. It can't be a one-stop shop and then give a couple recommendations, you sign a piece of paper, and you're done. If you're truly going to be an instructional leader, you need to be into the classrooms on a regular basis. However, there are so many, not only unfunded mandates, but what I call time mandates that come down, that leaders of buildings, leaders of districts and schools have to do. I'll give you an example. If you have a principal who wants to be an instructional leader, they get one bullying case, and bullying is a very hot topic. They're going to have to do their due diligence. That could take 4 or 5, maybe the whole day, 4 or 5 hours or the whole day, one case, because you owe it to that child and you want to do a good job. That takes you away from your instructional leadership. And so the research said you better have a team, middle managers, to help you with this this instructional leadership within the building. And as you know, many districts, including North Brunswick, has cut administration and held the dollar sacred closest to the classroom. So there's a contradiction there, and there's a hurdle as well.
All right, kind of bringing us to the end of the show. Is there any other points you would like to make on the work of the task force, that maybe any other misconceptions out there that you'd like to alleviate?
No, I think we touched on it. I think the critical one is that this task force isn't about tenure and merit pay. We were asked to provide the governor with recommendations about how to measure effectively teaching and learning, and also on teachers, regarding teachers and school leaders. All the talk about merit pay and tenure, that hasn't been our charge. So everybody thinks that we're going to make recommendations about merit pay and tenure and the like, but that really isn't our charge. What it says in the executive order is that issues like merit pay and tenure need to be addressed, and in order to address them, you need to have you have to start with an effective measurement and a fair measurement of teaching in the classroom and the impact of that teaching on students.
Yeah, I think most of us would agree that you can't affect any personnel decisions, actually, for that matter. If you're going to do changes, you have to have a fair and effective evaluation model. So this is like the building block for any other reform or changes that have to occur.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
I see callers there. If you want to ask a question, dial one. If not, I'll be ending our show in a couple of minutes. Dr. Zukowski, I would like to thank you for joining me. I found it very informative and interesting. And I think you probably put at ease some of the people who had some concerns with your task force's assignment. And I also like to, wish you a happy holiday season as it comes up.
Mr. Penny, likewise, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you and hopefully clear up any misconceptions. I do apologize. I didn't go into specifics, but we are, as a task force, bound to confidentiality until we can get something released to the governor.
Well, we'll welcome you back after March 1st when we have something a little bit more concrete to discuss at that time.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Penny.
All right. Just hold on. I'd like to thank all you who listened. New Jersey Education Forum will take a break during the holiday season, and our next show will be Friday, January 7th at 1 p.m., and our topic will be the repercussions and realities of the 2% budget cap. Maybe Dr. Zukowski might want to chime in on that one, too. Our guests will be two school business administrators talking about about what fiscal issues and choices school districts will face with the upcoming school budget. Until then, I would like to wish you all a happy holiday season and a safe new year. Thank you.
Thank you.